Now, we've been talking, of course, about the lens of the charismatic or the charismatic lens, looking through this philosophy and belief that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not past tense. Amen. I got one okay. Can I have some amens out there? Amen. Very much. Jesus has continued his ministry through the person of the Holy Spirit, through his people in real time in today's world. And we have learned that it's critical for you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is number one. Everybody say a good amen.
Amen.
You need to be using your prayer language, speaking in tongues regularly. That is the initial evidence or proof, physical evidence. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We've learned last week that if you don't operate in love and don't operate in forgiveness, these things are dead in your life. God can't use a person in the things of the Spirit when they are bitter and held captive by that bitterness and have some heart issues in their life. God desires to use you, but you have to deal with that. And I told you my personal testimony. I learned firsthand, lesson one, with no understanding about these things, you cannot receive the best the Spirit has to offer. You cannot flow in the Holy Ghost with bitterness in your heart. And God, my friends, are dealing with this. He's dealing with this in the churches all over the world right now. He wants his people free. It's insane for you to give up the blessing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to hold a grudge. You've been paying long enough for that. It's time to be free. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In addition to understanding that there has to be a love connection to the gifts of the Spirit, it's important to understand the different types of gifts and gifts he mentions in Scripture. And I want you just to go back with me to 1 Corinthians 12 for just a moment. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, the only way to overcome that ignorance, and that doesn't mean stupid, it means a lack of knowledge, is for you to have teaching. And it's very customary now for churches to relegate these types of teachings to small groups, you know, and Wednesday nights or whatever the case may be. But we have never needed the Sunday morning crowd to be taught these things like they need to be taught now. Look at somebody and tell them, up front, center, the whole of the church needs to understand these things. He went on to say in describing these, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are different diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And then it goes on to name them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Notice to each one, everybody needs to be included for the profit of all. Look, therefore, everybody, amen. Everybody should be involved and therefore the profit of all. He goes on to say this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, we've talked about this reality, and it's true out there. There are a lot of folks that have just basically decided that these things no longer exist. They're no longer relevant. They call themselves secessionists because these things ended with the last apostle. How do you think God today, healing hasn't ended with the last apostle to walk this earth of those 12 that worked with Jesus? No, they're not Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts is the Acts of what? The Holy Spirit moving in and through people. Then you have people who on paper, they're not secessionists. They call themselves continuationists. In other words, we believe these things continue to the present day. You know, it's one thing to have a doctrine on your wall or in your book or in your membership packet. It's another thing to practice these things. And so we don't want to be secessionists because that's not what the word teaches. And we don't want to be mere continuationists because that's not what Scripture teaches. We want to be what I call celebrationists.
All right.
We celebrate the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Come on, say it. We at Hope Harbor celebrate the Holy Ghost. Not just, you know, tolerate and in some cases people denigrate, but we celebrate him and what he has to offer. And I'll tell you this, the more you celebrate him, the more he'll do in you and through you. If it doesn't mean anything to you, if you don't care about these things, well, he's not going to force himself on you. He is a gentleman. But I tell you, God is needing churches today more than ever, not just to say we believe these things on paper.
That's right.
but to practice these things like never before. The gospel is not simply something you write in a pamphlet. It is something that you do. It is something we're engaged in. And so when we talk about the gifts, we understand that there are basically three categories of these. We might get done with just the first category today. Three gifts in each category. And the first category is called the revelation gifts. And they're called revelation gifts because they reveal something. Say that with me. They reveal something. They reveal things. And included in that list are the gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. We'll talk more about that in a moment. The second category is called the power gifts. They do something. There's a power release. There's a force released, and something happens because that gift is in play. The power gifts include the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. And how many are glad you're one of those strange people that still believes in miracles? You still believe in supernatural healing? It's too late. I've already seen too many of them. I've seen the Word of God confirmed over and over and over and over again. You're not going to talk me out of it. You're not going to beat this out of me with a baseball bat. Say it with me. I'm a celebrationist. Next time somebody asks you what you believe about the Holy Ghost, say, I celebrate Him and His gifts. Glory to God. Third category include the vocal gifts, where the revelation gifts reveal something and the power gifts do something. The vocal gifts say something. I just saw a demonstration that with our brother on his retirement. God can prophesy. God can speak to people. This includes tongues, not tongues for your prayer language or for your baptism in the Holy Spirit, but tongues as an edifying gift for the church as a whole, the interpretation of those tongues for the edification of the body, and prophecy. And the Bible is very plain. Paul told the Corinthians, you should desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you should prophesy so you can edify or build up the church. I'll ask you, Randy, did you feel edified and built up? That's the force of it. How many have ever had God speak to you in a service by the Holy Ghost or prophetically, and it built you up, it encouraged you, it strengthened you? And isn't it amazing? He knows exactly what we need when we need it. Yes. That's the force of these things. Glory to God. I want to make you understand before we dive into these just how important they are. What's the purpose of these gifts? I just want to say to you like this, if He told us to pursue something, if He left something for us, if He provided something for us, if He told us to receive that, how do you know it's important? You know, Christians need to stop calling Jesus Lord if they won't do what He tells them to do. And you and I have been given a command, amen, to be baptized in the Spirit. We've been given the gift and the promise. And you and I have been given this command to exercise the gifts that go with it. It's time to stop making excuses why we don't obey or stop calling Him Lord. Because if He's Lord, then do what He tells you to do. Smile at Him and say, you have a Lord and it's not you. Come on, Jesus is Lord. Oh, yes, amen. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. Don't say that unless you're doing what He told you to do. And this operation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, despite what some people teach, is not an option, and it is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Why? Because you can't do this without my power. Are you here today? So number one, the purpose of the gifts, to edify, build up, and develop the body. They're not used to tear down, but they're used to build the body up. And so whenever you see some type of gift of the Spirit, it's going to have an edifying, beneficial benefit to the Church of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? Now you find somebody using a vocal gift, for example, to tear down the body. It's not of God. You can let it go in one ear and out the other, and hopefully spiritual leadership will deal with that. But if you try it here, if you try to use a spiritual gift here to tear people down, your pastor will address it. Because that is borderline disrespect, dishonor for the Holy Ghost and for the people of God in general. When I was in Savannah, Georgia for a season with Kelly, we served as youth pastors and associate pastors. And the first 3 months we did everything because the pastor had triple bypass surgery the first week we got there. And I remember this lady, she always stood up and she had a prophecy. And it was the same prophecy every single time. She would stand up and say, "Awake thou, O sleeper, and rise from the dead." And then spend 5 minutes rebuking the church for being dead. Well, first of all, prophecies for instruction, exhortation, edification. It's the pastor's job to correct when necessary, using the word of God, not opinion. It's never the use, proper use of prophecy to attack a congregation because you think they're dead. You know who was really dead in that scenario? She was dead and couldn't tell it. And I didn't have the platform or the responsibility to deal with that, but I always wondered why he let that go on. He's such a merciful, gracious person. But listen, if a wolf attacks the church, the pastor has to stand up and beat it off. And just to help you out here, from time to time, they do try to chomp down on and destroy and tear up. But most of the time, y'all never even hear about it. But let me tell you this. The other day when Rita Henley and Jimmy came to church there with us, they brought me Brother Jerry's staff from when he was a pastor. I'm talking a real shepherd staff. I just want you to know I have it and I'm bringing it to the office. Glory to God. and I aren't afraid to use it. Are you here today? They build up the body. Number two, they demonstrate God's love in action. Don't ever be afraid of the gifts. Don't ever resist the gifts. Don't ever let somebody tell you there's something evil or wicked or demonic about it. No, it's all good. It's actually a demonstration of the love of God. When someone receives a prophecy, you should say, "Thank God the Lord loved that person enough to give that to them." When you see a gift of healing operation, thank God the Lord loved them enough to heal them. When you see somebody get a word of wisdom knowing what to do in a bad situation, thank God the Lord loved them enough to show them. The gifts are the Holy Spirit's love in action, God's love in action for us, and we should receive that. Yes. Amen. How do you feel, you know, if your husband brought you home some roses for Valentine's Day or something special gift, and you know, she didn't give, one single care about what you did. It'd be, very hard for you to deal with that. And that's the way sometimes I think God feels about us. Ingratitude seems to be rampant. But say it with me, I thank God for the gifts. All he's doing is showing his love. Amen. How much he must love us to break into a service? Well, that's one person or a group of people, unnamed group, that's being touched by some gift and operation. How much must he love us? Amen. Number three, releases God's power, ability, and understanding. In other words, there's an anointing, a power on each of these that actually accomplishes something. And we're seeing God's power and will in motion. Number four, they continue the ministry of Jesus through the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not dead. He's very much alive. Yes. And when you see him ministering in the gifts of the Spirit through the people, you know what you're really seeing? You're seeing Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth and a miracle was performed, they were seeing Jesus. When you see a gift operation, through some body member in the church, you're seeing Jesus operate. That should be honored and received. Can I have an amen? The gifts are how the word of God is confirmed with signs and wonders. Signs following. This is how this is done. The Bible says he works with them and he confirms the word with signs following. What are these gifts? These gifts are those signs and wonders following. Number six, how do we do greater works than Jesus? By participating in this. Jesus said, "And greater works shall you do," because what? I go to the Father, I go up, I send the Holy Ghost down, and now greater works shall you do. Jesus focused on one location, one geography. His people are all over the world. Amen. You're part of a massive army. Amen. A born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking word people. And it's going to get even more, amen, in these last days that way. Aren't you glad you're part of that church? You are much bigger than you realize. And while not always celebrated in America, the fastest growing components of the church in the world are all spirit-filled, hands down, on every continent. You can't name a region of the world where that's not true, except in the Western European countries and parts of America. But let me tell you something. This last day's move of God is going to be a Holy Ghost revival like you have never seen before. And he doesn't care what your label is. I said he didn't care what your label is. Doesn't care what your denominational background is. This is not about a denomination. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ ministering through his people by the person of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do greater works? Through the gifts. And then last, they glorify Jesus. That's the mandate of the Spirit. He is here to glorify and lift up the Lord, and that's what happens when the gifts are in operation. So you see how it's dumb for us to listen to the devil and religious people. Who would not want to glorify Jesus? Raise your hand if you'd like to glorify the Lord. Raise it up high. Then you want to be a part of the Holy Ghost ministry. He gives severally as he wills. He gives them to all, listen, as he wills, and they benefit all. There's not a person in the body of Christ that he doesn't want to use. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about some of these today. What about the word of knowledge? The word is a supernatural deposit of some piece of the mind of God in real time. It mostly deals with the present and can deal with the past, but it's information you wouldn't know in the natural. This can manifest when somebody's praying for somebody else. I remember right here in this altar, my wife was praying for somebody who had reported a Hodgkin's lymphoma, and in that prayer, she began to deal not with the Hodgkin's, but began to deal with pancreatic cancer. The issue is this individual never told her own family that she was also diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. But the Holy Ghost knows all things. And he took that day to deal through prophetic prayer, through a word of knowledge, not only the cancer, the lymphoma, but the pancreatic cancer. And this individual went back to a doctor, and guess what? Does everybody here understand the severity of pancreatic cancer? If you do, raise your hand. How it is the most dangerous form you can possibly have. Very hard to cure, very hard to heal from. But God, her own family didn't even know she had that diagnosed. But she went back and there was no pancreatic cancer, and she's alive today serving God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, shout out, say thank God for the Holy Ghost. It's real. Everybody say it. It is real. Say the word of knowledge. We need to know some things that we can't possibly know in the natural. Have you ever lost anything? Has the Holy Ghost helped you found it? Is he good at that? He knows everything. Whether it is a word of knowledge for restoration or for direction, for guidance to find something, you and I need to know what he knows. And he is so faithful to do it. Amen. I told you this story, and I like the story, so I'm going to tell it again. You know, John Osteen was on this earth. He used to tell his story so much that his family said, Daddy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to number your stories. And when you get prompted to share a story, just call out the number. 45, and we'll laugh and you can move on. Just, I love that man. Can't wait to see him in heaven one day. Glory to God. But they would just fly up in his spirit, and because somebody needed to hear it. Because the Holy Ghost cares about people. It's not just the gifts in operation when we're celebrating them or an altar service. Even while you're preaching and teaching, if you'll yield to him, he wants to say something to somebody. And God's more interested in ministering to people than your notes. And so, you know, do y'all remember when those gas permeable solid contacts, how much they cost, how expensive they were? My sister came home one day after she had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she lost one of those contacts. And I said, now, I'm not walking with God at this time. So my opinion of her was super freak, done gone down to Houston, Texas, and got freaky. She's like, I lost the contact, but you come out and help me find it. I said, where do you think you lost it? I think I lost it. It's in the trash out there. So there we are out there in the dead of winter, ripping green garbage bags open while she's praying in the spirit. And I'm trying to figure out whether I should call somebody or not. It done lost her mind. She prays in the Holy Ghost and prays in the Holy Ghost. We open up this bag. She looks down at an eggshell, scoops the contact up out of an eggshell, puts it in her mouth, cleans it up, and sticks it in her eye. Says, praise the Lord. Contacts, glasses, checkbooks. I mean, I got an academy in the Word of Knowledge hanging around Mark Randall because he would lose his checkbook five times a day. Oh, he would be a spammer's, I mean, a delight in today's world. Amen. You need to know how to deal with things. And you get that knowledge, that information, from the precious, loving, kind, gracious Holy Spirit. Heard a funny story about infestation of squirrels. And for some reason, the squirrels were attacking all the little churches in a little town. Have you ever had some demon-possessed squirrels on your property? I went to war with one in our house. He was chewing the wood all in the corners of our porch. I tried everything. Everything. I brought these little plastic owls and stuck them on every corner of the house. I swear I heard the squirrels laughing at me when I put them out there. So when I really got fed up, I got a .22 rifle out. That's when they really started laughing at me. So they first went into a Presbyterian church, and the Presbyterians said to themselves, well, you know what? We believe in predestination. It's obviously God's sovereign will that squirrels were here, and they left them alone. Squirrels invaded the Baptist church, and the Baptists thought, you know what we'll do? We'll fill up the baptistry, we'll put a little water slide in, and they'll drown. Come to find out, the little squirrels are pretty proficient swimmers. And next week, they had double amount of squirrels in the baptistry. The Lutherans had the mentality that we can't harm any living creature. So they humanely caught them and dropped them off at the Baptist church. But they came back next week because, of course, the water was no longer there. The Episcopalians had the brilliant idea of putting tins out with whiskey in them. If we can get them drunk, then we can certainly get rid of them. They did not estimate the damage that drunk squirrels could do in a church sanctuary. Everybody say, we need to know what to do. Say, we need to know what to do. The Pentecostals had an infestation. They all started speaking in tongues, and those squirrels ran out with their hair on fire to the Baptist church. Everybody said, God bless the Baptists. Catholics were the smartest of the bunch. They decided to baptize their squirrels, and they never saw them until Easter or Christmas. Some of y'all know, you know. We got some people just like that too. But the people who seemed to have the word of knowledge were the Jews. They were in temple, and a squirrel showed up. They circumcised him and never had another one show up again. I may just... Joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Now y'all know what to do with your squirrels, bless God. Yes, you do. I want you to do something spiritual now. Go to the book of Acts with me, where I'm pretty sure they had his squirrels under control. Just a couple examples of this. Sometimes God will reveal things that, and this happens also in the church today. But Ananias and Sapphira, you know, in Acts chapter 5, they sold a piece of land and made it look like they were giving all the money to the work of the Lord. In verse 3, by revelation, by word of knowledge, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart so that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that was received from the Lord? You know, that ended in a supernatural, judgment. And the same thing happened to his life partner. But he received this by understanding. This is something how the apostles actually operated. And you and I have the same access to the same knowledge, to know things that are true, to know things that are not true, things that he communicates to us. This is nothing new for Peter. We understand he was predisposed towards this because when it came down to defining who Jesus was, thou art the Christ, he also had what? A word of knowledge. Now, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it cranks all of these things up in our lives, and you should be aware that God wants to use you. But I want you to just to see something practical today. You see over in Acts chapter 8, another story where the sorcerer is wanting to buy the power that when he lays hands on others like the apostles, they'd receive the Holy Ghost. And the first thing you have to understand is they didn't tell him, no, you're not an apostle, you can't do this. What they did say is, you know, your money perished with thee because you thought you could buy the gift or the power of God. It's not something you can buy, it's something you receive. And watch what the apostle says to him. We'll look at verse 18. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at laying on of hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right. Say, your heart is not right. Just like last week, you're not going to flow in these things if your heart is not right. He goes on to say this. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I can see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. I want you to understand this. It may be a forgiveness issue or it may be something else, but I want to encourage this entire church body and those watching online, whatever is wrong, get it right. We need you to flow with the Holy Ghost. But you can't do it with heart issues or sins or things God's told you to deal with if you're captive to something you can't flow like you're supposed to. Come on, shout that word out. Say, flow. Flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You can't do it when you have a heart problem. You know that's true. And you can't do it when you're doing things you shouldn't be doing and involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. You just won't have that power. You won't have that authority. You won't have that wisdom. You won't have that unction when you're not living right. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
Now, the word of wisdom is very similar, but the word of wisdom is not just a piece of knowledge, but it's a piece of wisdom, what to do in a given situation. And what happens is God will guide you. We see this in action in Acts chapter 6. Basically, then the distribution of food, their strife broke out between the Hebrews and the Greeks. And the apostles said, look, we're going to raise up people full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to handle this, the directive of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, God has a way of solving anything if God, his people, and his leaders will listen to the Holy Ghost. Say it with me, a word of wisdom. I remember when my wife was first having, you know, problems with her back. And how many of you have ever dealt with insurance companies? Raise your hand, say, God bless them. We love them. You love them. Yes, we do. They're not going to pay, not even pay for an MRI. That's how much they fought this thing. And so they finally did that, but what they needed to do was to find a way to see what's going on when there was some compression on the back. And so I'm sitting there at the post office talking to their scheduling person in Nashville, trying to figure this thing out. I'm sitting there in the parking lot at the post office, and all of a sudden I hear the Holy Ghost say, ask them if they can find a weight-bearing MRI. I personally never even heard the term before. And she got real quiet, and she goes, you know, there is one machine in town. And do you know what happened? They got that approved, and they found the issue. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Lord, the Holy Ghost knows MRI machines and technology. He knows how to, restore people. He also knows how to guide his people and direct them what they're supposed to do. I've never been more amazed than I am right now. And I continue to be amazed and thrilled with what he does. Around 2015 or so, I was taking a time away to pray and seek the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're about to get a call from out of the country. I want you to accept that invitation and minister on the things of the Spirit when you get there. I said, could you repeat that? And how many of you, he's gracious to do that? Everybody say words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Words of knowledge, a piece of information. Words of knowledge, you actually do something. You're supposed to do something with that wisdom. And when you do, breakthrough takes place. It wasn't a week later, I got a call from Nassau. Valentino, the pastor who actually came through our program here in the church in Chi Alpha, calls and says, we're doing a special meeting. The Lord said, you're supposed to come. And I said, yes, he did. And I came. Ended up praying for hundreds of people to receive the Holy Ghost, taught them on the things of the Spirit. One of the highlights of my ministry, praying for a group of 25, 30, 40 kids, all different ages, to receive the baptism as well. I believe God's raising up giants down there in that land for the Lord Jesus Christ to do great things. Why would he do that? Because he wanted to make sure that Pastor Valentino had it clear, and he wanted me to have it clear. That's the grace of God in our lives. Everybody say it. Thank God. Come on, shout it out. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I remember years ago, church, Brother Jerry was ministering, and Jerry flowed profusely and proficiently in the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody came up to pray. This began to be a running joke after it happened, but he began to speak over this person's life. And here's what he said. It was really, really spiritual. He said to this man, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but the Lord is putting you back together again. I saw a grown man begin to weep because that's the one thing he needed to hear about his shattered life, God putting it back together again. It was extraordinary that God can take the ordinary by the power of the Holy Spirit and change people's lives. That man left changed that day because the preacher wasn't too prideful, amen, to give a nursery rhyme to a man who needed to hear it. I couldn't help it. I said, Jerry, what are you going to say with the next one? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. We used to have a great time. Jerry was short. Shorter than me and about the size of you, I guess maybe a little shorter. And one Sunday night, we decided we're going to have an imitate the preacher contest. And so he was going to imitate me because he used to make fun of all the faces I make and all the things that I do. And I was going to imitate him. And so he went first and he's making all these faces, you know, and he's trying to act like me preaching and stuff like that. And you know, people were, you know, appreciative of his imitation. But what I did was I took my shoes off and I stuck my knees in the shoes and I grabbed my notebook as he was prone to do, go, buh, 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 buh. They all clapped and said, I won. Thank you very much. Amen. You know, church doesn't have to be dry and dull and boring. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he conceded. When he saw me take my knees in those shoes, he said, it's over with. I'm not going to win this. There's no way. Come on, say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Some of these I repeat because they ministered to me so much, and I think about them often. But when Timothy and I went to St. Louis one weekend, we saw a ball game. The next day, we went to Cheesecake Factory. Everybody say, God bless Cheesecake Factory. We were there early and maybe just two or three other people at tables, and we ate, had a good time. And I looked over to my right to the most beautiful African-American ladies you've ever seen in your life, you know, late 70s, 80s, something like that, just two of them dressed to the T. Sister Anna, don't y'all know how to dress for the Lord? Amen? Just telling you. White people, we're bums for the Lord. And I just kept glancing over there, and then I heard the Holy Ghost say, buy their meal, make sure you tell the person that they're to include whatever cheesecake they want. I didn't know them from Adam. All I could tell you is they're enjoying themselves, they're having a blast, and they were just, like I said, beautifully dressed, beautiful people. And I just called over the server and I said, look, I said, give me another ticket. I want that ticket. I paid for the ticket and made sure that they understood the instructions. And so they sat there just having a great old time. And they said, would you like some cheesecake? And she said, oh, yes. And they both had a cheesecake. And finally, they asked for their bill. And the lady looked at him and said, another patron in the restaurant has already taken care of your bill. And you could hear her, I mean, in the next room if you wanted to, you could hear her say this to that server, that's never happened to me in my entire life. She was 80-something years old, and get this, she said, and it's my birthday today. That's, everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, he's got to take a white boy and his son from Murray, Kentucky, take him up to watch St. Louis Cardinals, probably mismanaged that day again. Go to West County, sit down at Cheesecake Factory to run into a couple of ladies dressed to the hilt to buy their meal, also that Jesus can say to her, happy birthday, my daughter. That's why I bring this up. It's not about you and me. It's about something God's trying to do, and he's doing it through people. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. It marks me because of all the little pieces God had to put together to make this happen. It is not about, oh, look what you did. It has nothing to do with it. He'd have found somebody else. He'd have found some other way to wish her happy birthday, because that was his will that day. But oh, what a blessing it is to get to be a part of these things. Yeah, amen. Yes. Amen. I was handed this letter this week because Ellie Covington kept it safe for me for several weeks. Didn't you, Ellie? It's an inside joke, isn't it? And it says, dear church family, it's one of our college students who recently graduated. Words cannot describe the thankfulness and love that I have for each and every one of you. Since being at Hope Harbor, my understanding of God has been changed in a mighty way. I remember the first time I stood at my seat during worship looking around at everyone, and I was brought to tears because I wanted what each and every one of you had. And that is to know the Father, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Healer, the Sovereign King. Something in me told me that I would never have it, and at first I believed that. But the more I sat and listened to the words given to Pastor Art by the Holy Spirit, and the more conversations I had with the people of this church, the more I began to realize that God was planting evidence in my heart of who he is. God has used and is using Hope Harbor to give to those who thought they would never have a deep understanding of God. There was a time when I didn't know how I was going to pay off my tuition. I thought it would be just another problem I'd have to figure out on my own. But then God spoke to me one day and told me to give him everything that I had in my wallet. So that change that was being poured into the bucket one Sunday, some of y'all remember that sound. That made a lot of noise. Yeah, that was me. And then shortly after, in faith, I gave again, and that was the last time I was able to give. I finally realized that I had to do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. And so I prayed and trusted and waited on the Lord. I'll admit my hope was not always the greatest, and I felt most attacked in my waiting. But in the words of my best friend and sister Ellie, I waited and waited well. Now there's a sermon there, church. I say all this to say that what you did for me was a prayer that I prayed with all of the hope and fight I had left. And what happened was, the Lord spoke to me about giving you an opportunity to help this young lady. And what you did was you paid her tuition off and enabled her to graduate with her degree in hand. That's what you did. Amen. She said, and so I thank you all so much. I've never gotten to experience the love, devotion, and passion that I felt at Hope Harbor. Because the Lord displayed his goodness through you all, I can now receive my diploma on time and then take and pass my test to become a licensed veterinarian tech. I love all of you and am believing and praying that this church will do and be a part of great works in the kingdom of God than any man has ever seen. Love, Kennedy Trial. P.S. If the Lord wills, I will be back. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap and thank him for that. Now watch. It was maybe three or four times in my entire ministry, the Lord's impressed upon me to do something like that where somebody stands up with a bucket. And it's just a matter of people just hearing from God and doing what God wants them to do. In other words, you receive a word from him. You feel prompted to him what to do. And the result is, you know, she was able to walk out of here with a degree, which they would have held if she had not had that tuition paid off. That's just the way it works. But she walks out of here, not just with a church experience, but a life changed by a group of people who selflessly helped her meet a need. I don't know what she'll do in the future, what God has for her, but I'm telling you, she will never, ever, ever be the same. That's the power of the operation of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is this, and here's how this works. She had a need, just as Tom, Tim was talking about this. She sowed a seed and then waited and believed God. Amen. And then there was a word given. Amen. And then there was a harvest produced from it. And here's somebody crying out to God, sowing and giving. On the other end of this prayer, is there someone that's going to hear the voice of God? Is there a group of people are going to hear from God? What I'm trying to tell you is it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit that put God together with people to answer prayer. You're vital to this process. Amen. Say it, I'm part of it. Come on, say glory to God. Glory to God. I'm part of it. So in your daily lives, what you're doing, pay attention. You don't know what to do, he'll tell you. He'll give you a word of wisdom. You don't know a piece of information you need to know, he'll give you a word of knowledge. And number three, when it comes to discerning spirits, when you don't know the nature of an utterance or a manifestation, discerning of spirits, the third revelation gift, will tell you where that thing came from. And every utterance, every manifestation comes either from the Holy Spirit, a demonic spirit, or a human spirit. And he will tell you instantly where that's from. And it's important these last days to know, is it not, church? To know what's coming at us, where it's coming from. Not just the knowledge, but where it's coming from. Several years ago, I was asked by the pastor that was here to preach a morning and night. And I preached a night service and preached my message. And we just happened to have communion that night. And my mom and dad drove down from Illinois for that particular meeting. And just understand this, that neither one of them were that familiar with y'all. Church is like y'all. We were raised Lutheran. She's in Catholic churches. She's in Methodist churches. I mean, she's like a jack of all Christian trades sitting there today. She's just a little bit of everything. And I'm praying for folks. And I can tell you, On two different occasions, some really crazy things happened, but for some reason, this particular night was just kind of off the hook. While praying for that service before in the afternoon, the Lord spoke to me and said, now, someone's coming there with a severe injury to their shoulder, and I want you to call them out. I want to let them know that I love them, and I want you to pray for them. And how do you know when you're a baby preacher and you're young as this, you don't have all the confidence in the world. You want to make sure you're hearing from God. Well, we should be saying, what's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody gets prayed for? Your reputation gets hit? See, we don't resist these things because we're trying to save God's reputation. No, we resist these things because we're concerned about our own reputation. What if I miss it? What if it's not true? What if who cares? Amen. Did you all not fall off your bike the first time you rode it? And what did you do? He threw it in the dump, right? I'm never riding this thing again. No, you got back up again and you rode the bike. And then he told me, you know, that, you know, there was some other issues like, you know, heart problems there and very specific about the nature of these things. And so I preached the message and I just made up my mind that whatever he said, you know, I wasn't interested. And don't look at me with that holy tone. Some of y'all haven't been interested in for decades. And so I'm done preaching, about to shut the thing down, turn it back over to the leader who had that service that day. And this man gets out of his seat and he walks straight down the middle of the aisle. Some of you may know him of his ministry. His name is Jim Hart, and he pastored several little Methodist churches at the same time. He walked down there right in front of my face and he said, "Brother Art, I've had a terrible injury to my shoulder. Would you pray for me?" God had to get him to amplify the voice of God, the word of knowledge, so I would act. Prayed for him. God touched him. All I can tell you is the meeting was on that night. I said the meeting was on. That's how gracious he is. But on this occasion, the mom and dad came down. I prayed for this young lady. And, you know, she had had some problems here and there, what kind of thing, you know. But to discern what's really going on sometimes can be difficult. Is when I laid hands on her to pray for her, she howled, threw herself back on all fours. And the first thing I did was look at mom and dad. The second thing I did was, what am I going to do with this? I, honest to God, didn't know if I was dealing with a psychotic, using drugs. Was it a demon? And I mean, you know, eventually, you know, we had some wisdom and brought her back into the room to deal with the thing. But, you know, all I can tell you is that you've got to be just ready to float. Amen. And discerning spirits would tell you that you need to know what you're dealing with. I'm going to pray about a drug addiction when she's not on drugs, or going to cast the devil out of her when it has nothing to do with the devil. It's just something she did in the flesh. As it turns out, guess what? If something it manifests, it's always a Holy Spirit, a demonic spirit, or the human spirit. What do you think it was that night? It wasn't the devil or the Holy Ghost. It was just her showing out, taking advantage of the new kid on the block. Amen. Now, things like that happen. You know, Brother Copeland was in a meeting one time, and there's this lady that would travel with this man, and they would go to Holy Ghost meetings. And in the middle of the service, you've been taught about this, she would stand up and just start speaking in tongues at the top of her voice. Now, how many understand with the words going forth is completely and totally out of order, unless you're praying quietly to yourself. And that's not a bad thing to do, is always pray in the Holy Ghost for your pastor while he's preaching.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Amen. You do realize they'll preach better if you actually pray. I heard someone here say, "Can you pray for shorter?" Best wishes with that, amen. And it got so bad that this lady would stand up, because what she would do is this guy would go to her. "Now it's time for you to do your thing. Time for you to do your thing." And she'd stand up and just try to destroy the service. And she and Brother Copeland would say, "Sister, sit down. You're out of order. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say." Completely ignored him, just kept on babbling in tongues. "Sister, I ask you politely to sit down." Nothing. Now he's getting really animated. "I told you to sit down. You're disrupting this service. Sit down and be quiet and listen to the Word." And that's when the man did his thing. He popped up and said, "She's deaf. She can't hear a word you're saying." Now the entire crowd turns on him. And like, "Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Have them bring her down here and I'll heal her." They brought that woman down here and she was instantly healed of deafness and delivered from being a tool of the enemy. Look at somebody in the spine and say, "Don't be no tool of the enemy." In your life as a Christian, not just leaders, you need to know what you're dealing with. You have family members you're not sure what they've got. Are they nuts? Is it drugs? Is it a demon? Well, Pastor, I don't worry about that because if I got a problem, I'll just call you to fix it. What am I, your Ghostbuster for you? I'm not your Ghostbuster. Who are you going to call? Look in the mirror, call yourself. That's why equipping is so important. So when that thing manifests at Thanksgiving on you, you're going to be ready. Because I'm eating turkey. I'm not coming over to cast out the devil out of your relative when you're being trained to deal with it yourself. But you need to know. Say human spirit.
Human
demonic spirit.
Spirit.
Holy spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And if it's the Holy Spirit, bless God, we should yield and receive whatever he's doing, whatever he wants to do.
That's right.
Amen. But we have to discern that. Glory to God. So again, the gifts of revelation, they reveal something. Say it, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning the spirits. And what God often does with these, gifts of revelation is using us on one side. Oftentimes there's a cry of a heart somewhere else. So make sure you pay attention to these things. So somebody can have a really special birthday. So some young college student can graduate here with a wonderful taste in their mouth for Hope Harbor Church, Murray State University, and Murray, Kentucky. Forever impacted because a group of people just chose to do what God told them to do. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap and thank him for this. Come on, give him a shout. Bless the Lord today. Why don't you stand to your feet and bow your heads and just... I know as a baby Christian, when I... with here teaching on the Holy Ghost, on the gifts, it just made me hungrier and hungrier. And I pray that's the effect it has on your life, because to participate in the ministry of Jesus is to participate in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that the effect on you as we do this, and I'm not saying that I have this open line, an audible voice of God. It's not that way. It's not that way with you either. But I clearly have been impressed to take the time to make sure you understand these gifts. And then do something about it by asking God to use you in these areas. And he will. For me, the first gifts, I believe, were things I saw. Gail and I were talking about this. You mentioned this last night. But Brother Hagin always said that the word knowledge can be described as a seeing. Sometimes you see the thing, you don't hear the thing. Can I have an amen? You see the knowledge, you just don't hear it. The night I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I saw war break out in the Middle East. And then you turn on the news the next day, guess what? War had broken out in the Middle East. I had no reference point for it whatsoever. Words of knowledge, and later on, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, stuff like that. I've seen people healed through gifts of healing. But this is how Jesus does his ministry in the earth, is through his people operating in these nine gifts of the Spirit. And so the call is just that you would desire these, that you seek and pursue his baptism in the Holy Spirit. You trust him and honor him by using the gift he gave you, speak in a language you never learned. You endeavor to walk in love in all of your dealings with people. And you desire spiritual gifts. That's the message that Paul gave. Not run them away. Not even say we're continuationists. Praise the Lord, we believe in those things. But no, you're celebrationists. That's how important they are to you. I do know this, that if you ask him today to use you in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discern his spirits, he will. Amen. And I can tell you this, that the baptism and praying in the Spirit, it amplifies this in your life. We'll talk about actually how to flow in these in a couple of weeks so that you are consistent in all of them as the Spirit severally gives to you. But I'm telling you, he desires to use you. He desires to speak to you. He desires every person to be a part of this last day's ministry. Amen. Everybody say it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. So I just want you to bow your heads. And if it's in your heart, you desire the Holy Spirit to use you in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discern his spirit. Just lift your hand, testifying that there's a desire there. You want him to use you. Because until you have some desire cultivated, you'll just be another seat occupied on Sunday, loving God, going to heaven. God wants you to be a person on the other side of somebody's prayer. And the only way for that to happen is for you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, all over this building, say, Heavenly Father, help me to understand all the gifts, all the operation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I ask you today to do something powerful in me and through me. It was your apostle who told us to desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. As we focus today, Lord, on the word of knowledge, on the word of wisdom, and discerning spirits, I pray the Holy Spirit would use me personally. Teach me how to operate in these things. Give me courage to step out. Let me be more concerned about your reputation than my reputation. Say it in Jesus' name. I ask you, Holy Ghost, here am I. Use me. Send me. Give me divine appointments. And then prompt me. Prompt me with your word. Prompt me with your wisdom. Prompt me with your discernment. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, give another hand clap as you worship together.